Blog Talk Radio.
You're going to love this. Hundreds of Macy's Cyber Week specials are here and ready for gifting online and in store. Like Boots and Booties for Her, buy one, get one free. Mixers, air fryers, and more, 20% plus an extra 20% off. And find gifts for him and her, coats, sweaters, tops, 50 to 60% off. Macy's Cyber Week specials now through Wednesday. Savings off regular prices, exclusions apply. Macy's Star Rewards now offers benefits everyone can enjoy no matter how they pay. Sign up for free in store or at Macy's.com/Star Rewards.
Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And you know, on this journey, I get to share with you and serve as your tour guide through this event that we're going to be sharing. And so, you know, I always like to start off with a word of positive inspiration. And we get that from my post, which is called RevSandy.wordpress.com, and I've been reading the daily messages that have been written for that particular day. And so today's post is called Celebrate Goodness. Let us celebrate all that is good and very good. Let us keep our attention on the vastness of the Almighty. Goodness is everywhere present. There is goodness in life and living. There is goodness in creation and recreation. There is goodness in death. There is goodness all around us every day. Goodness is often not thought of when you talk about death or transitions, but there is beauty and goodness in that person's life. A wise elder once told me that as long as we call and say the person's name, they are never dead. So I talk fondly of all the wonderful souls that have blessed me with their presence for however long it was. When I catch myself doing something that reminds me of that person, I remark to them how much I miss their physical presence, but love them that they are in and that they're in my heart forever. Spirit never, ever dies. Goodness is all around us. We may need to do an adjustment on how we perceive something, but the fact remains, it is all good all the time. So today, celebrate all the goodness in your life. Be thankful. Be mindful of your many blessings. You are goodness in human form. And so that prelude right there takes us right into the next item that's up on the agenda for us tonight. As we prepare ourselves, we want to invoke and invite the spirits of the ancestors to be a part of this show tonight. We want them with us all the time and with us, but tonight especially, we invite their spirits and their energies to be a part so that they can guide us along and help us to navigate through this thing called life. This is Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, because it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. Tonight, I have the extreme pleasure and honor of welcoming one of my nieces to the show, and the show's title is called A Masterful Quilter, Miss Latifah Saphir. She's making history, and I just want her to share her story with us tonight, and so we'll be bringing her on shortly. But, you know, we always come up with some interesting news and information to share with you every week, things that aren't necessarily making the headlines in the newspapers. And so let's just kind of get into one of those stories right quick.
Sandy Rogers Newsreel.
So Marcola.com is a site that I regularly read the information, because Dr. Marcola is a cutting-edge, new thought type of doctor, and he's always digging and researching, and he has a team of people that help him. But this particular article is called Why You Need to Eat More Vegetables. And so vegetables are low in calories, high in fiber, and with almost all of the vitamins and minerals your body needs. Vegetables are a nutritional cornerstone. Sprouting and fermenting are two ways to boost nutritional value even further. The fiber in vegetable is broken down into short-chain fatty acids by the gut bacteria, which then nourishes your gut and beneficial bacteria. And other health benefits include improved complexion, weight management, improved gut health, immune function, athletic performance, energy levels, and mental well-being. So fermented foods are also some of the best chelators and detox agents available, meaning that they can help rid your body of a wide variety of toxins, including heavy metals. And since most vegetables aren't very calorie dense, they should ideally constitute the bulk of your diet by volume. Tragically, very few actually get a healthy amount of vegetables in their diet, as noted by Time magazine. And so we have, again, we have healthy, glowing skin, weight management improves gut health and keeps you regular, which means you get to go to the bathroom for a bowel movement, athletic performance and recovery, improves energy, mood, and psychological well-being, there's risk for chronic disease, boosts healthy immune function. And so vegetables contain an array of antioxidants and other disease-fighting compounds that are very difficult to get anywhere else. While it's advisable to eat all the colors of the rainbow, purple foods tend to stand out above the crowd courtesy of their potent antioxidants called anthocyanins. Research has linked anthocyanins to a reduced risk for a number of diseases, including cancer, cardiovascular disease, and neurological dysfunction and decline. So they also help prevent obesity and diabetes. And so the deep red and blue foods, including all the berries and cherries, are also loaded with beneficial antioxidants. So those vegetables that are high in anthocyanins include red onions, purple cabbage, beets, eggplant, and my favorite that I just found is purple yams. They're high in fiber, and they are just simply delicious. And so I want to make sure that I give you that information. Sometimes we wonder why we should eat vegetables, and that is just a little information on that courtesy of Dr. Marcola. So once again, you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, and I so appreciate you being a part of the audience and part of this activity tonight. So if you're listening and you want to speak on air, just push 1 on your dial. Otherwise, if you're listening via the computer and you want to call in with a comment or a statement, give us a call at 516-531-9819. And, man, I'm so excited. You know, I'm excited every week because I just love bringing on the individuals that share with us. And life is so wonderful. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and get right into the show. Thank you for listening. Golden. I think she was peeking through the window looking at Latifah Saphir as she was getting her groove on, manifesting her dream. That, again, was Golden by Jill Scott. And tonight, I am so blessed and so tickled and so honored and so excited to have my niece, Latifah Saphir, that is going to be joining us. Tonight's show is called A Masterful Quilter. So we're honored to have our guest. She's my niece, and she shows us how to take a dream and make it our reality. She has served family as the major caregiver to the eldest male, who is my father and her grandfather, and he just turned 95. But she's been serving in this role for over 10 years. And so caregiving in itself, as we've talked about on the show before, provides its own opportunities. However, Latifah has managed to interweave all of her responsibilities and come out on top with realizing her dream. And she's a very accomplished young lady. She has Latifah Safia Studios. It recently debuted her first fabric line at Quilt Market in Salt Lake City with amazing acceptance by the quilting community. Come and be inspired and listen to what Latifah has to say. So I'm going to quickly read her bio. You know, I could tell you a lot of things about her. I've been around her all her life, but I want to make sure that I stay focused on the points that will help you to get to understand what type of energetic and exciting entrepreneur that she is. So Latifah Safia is known for her bold and innovative modern quilts, combining her training as an engineer with her lifelong passion for sewing. Latifah creates designs that are graphic and contemporary, featuring challenging techniques with meticulous attention to detail. And co-founder of both the Los Angeles Modern Quilt Guild and the Worldwide Modern Quilt Guild, Latifah currently teaches workshops to guilds around the country. Latifah is, again, she is just such a masterful quilter. And she's produced her own fabric line. She's produced patterns. And so without further ado, audience, I would like to introduce to you my niece, Latifah Safia. Latifah, are you there?
I'm here, Auntie.
Hey, darling.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. I'm really excited to be here and to have this conversation with you today.
Well, good, good. So, you know, people will probably want to know what made you get into quilting. It's such an old, maybe ancient is what, you know, some people may be thinking of art, you know, of the quilting. Perhaps our grandparents or our great-grandparents, in your case, did quilting, but not young people these days don't really do quilting, or do they? Maybe is that a misconception on our part?
You know what? Thankfully, it's becoming a misconception because quilting is now attracting not just women, but women and men in their 20s and 30s and 40s now. I grew up sewing, so I started sewing when I was about, my mom taught us the basics when I was 6 or 7. She didn't love to sew. She did pass on how you navigate a machine, and when I got interested in it at about 10 or 11, she kind of gave the machine to us. But my generation didn't really grow up sewing, so I didn't have a lot of friends my age, like in high school and college and so forth, that actually sewed. So thankfully, there's a growing community of younger women and men as well that are starting to sew and are really kind of bit by the quilting bug as well. So, so it's still traditionally, people have the association with it being attracting older generations, but it's attracting all age groups now, which is really exciting.
Wow, really excellent. Exciting. So was it difficult to go from your engineer background into the quilting world? How did you make that transition?
So I majored in engineering in college and kind of took that as a career path, probably because it was more of a safe career path for me to take. When you're not necessarily raised with a lot of financial means, you make decisions a lot of times based on money. So I always been blessed to be very left brain, right brain balanced. So I could do the engineering easily, but I've always been inspired by more of the creative. So even while I was doing engineering, like all the way from school, all the way up into, I wasn't an engineer at the end, but I was still in a technology career. I worked for Salesforce.com for 6 or 7 years. But even while I was doing that, I was always had something creative going on the side. And my goal had always been to own my own creative business. So I got laid off from Salesforce. They eliminated my position. And when it happened, I think for the first 2 days, I probably cried quite a bit just because, you know, you get laid off, that's your, like, expected response. But then, like, a couple of days into that, I'm like, you know what, this could be the biggest blessing that I've ever had, because sometimes those jobs are difficult to leave because of the fact that you do have a good income and you have insurance and you have all of these things that we think are kind of secure. They feel like security to us, you know, and they're hard to make the decision to leave. So being let go is actually one of the biggest blessings for me. So I took my severance package and lived on it for about a year while I started to build. And it's been a few years now, so I've been working slowly towards it. I had a side job as an educator for a sewing machine company that kind of helped to carry me along. And now I'm doing it full time. So I'm really, really excited and blessed to be doing something that really inspires me now. And it's also, for once, I'm also in a career or doing something for, you know, that does utilize both sides of my brain. So left brain, right brain, the creativity is challenged. But I'm also tasked just in designing quilts. I released my first ruler or template called the Clammy. And if you look at the way that it's designed, you definitely see where the engineering kind of side came in to design the pretty innovative tool. So for the first time, I'm actually doing something as well that challenges both sides and allows me to fully be myself in the career.
Now, I just absolutely love the designs, and so, you know, to know that you created the instruments that actually helped to make the designs in the quilts is fascinating. And
yes.
So in that, was it something like you were just kind of focused on designing something different and then the idea of the tool came to you, or how did that come about?
Yeah, so the tool that I'm talking about is called the Clammy, and it's a template that designs, so it's an acrylic template that you use for cutting. There's a lot of cutting and quilting. So a quilter is basically a person who takes fabric and cuts it up and sews it back together. That's our whole life. That's what we do. And people who aren't quilters can't understand it, but it does become, in a lot of ways, sort of an obsession. It becomes a very big part of your life. But community is also a very big part of quilting, too. So most quilters don't quilt alone. You quilt in groups, and you have that aspect as well, so that becomes very important. But I designed a quilt based off a very classic quilt shape called the clamshell shape. And it's not only a quilt motif, but it's a motif that's come up in architecture for many, 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 probably thousands of years. So it's a very classic shape. But traditionally in quilting, the shape was very small and it was pieced by hand, and it took forever. So a few years ago, just because it was something I wanted to do myself and I didn't think it would sort of take a life of its own, I decided, how do I make it in a way that fits my style of quilting and my style of designing? So I blew up the template. So the first one I made was an 8-inch clamshell. Then I did a 12-inch clamshell. And I put together my first pattern. I posted it online for free. And people loved it, but they had to cut out everything by hand with scissors. And people didn't like that aspect of it. And for many years, people asked me to design a template where they can cut it out with the rotary cutter, and it makes it a lot easier. But from a business standpoint, it didn't make sense to create a single-use template. So I was able to design the template so it can not only cut out the clamshell shape, but it could cut out four other quilt shapes. And what this does is it creates a tool that the customer can use and try to be creative on their own. From a business perspective, for me, I can build a whole series of products based off of this one tool. So it takes something that could have been like you buy this one tool for this one quilt and you're finished with it, but now I was able to design it so that it can be used to cut five different classic quilt shapes. And so it's just really fun. So now I'm in the process of creating lots of different types of quilt patterns that based off of that particular ruler. So it's really fun to be able to take kind of the beauty of the things that have existed in quilting all along and kind of put your own spin to it and put out something that's a little bit more unique and interesting and creative and just something that reflects, you know, my own design style and that people who have a more of a modern sensibility is attracted to. So
that is so inspiring to say, you know, like you had the thought, you were gifted with that idea, and then you saw it through, even with creating the tools that you need in order to create the product that you, the end product that you have, And a lot of times people get stuck, or they don't move forward with an business idea that they have because of whatever lack and limitations they put on their own self for not being able to realize their dream. But you not only did the quilt, you also created the device or the tools that you needed in order for you to make quilts and for other people to make quilts. So in that mindset that you had, was it just to be as open as possible to allow ideas to come in? What kind of advice would you give someone, young or old, that wanted to do something different than what their current career is?
Yeah, so I think a big part of it for me was coming to terms with who I am and accepting that fully, and also allowing myself to trust my own instincts and my own process enough to be able to really step out on faith. That doesn't mean that many times along the way I had doubts and questions and wondering whether it was the right thing to do, but it literally was stepping one foot in front of the other. I spent many, like thousands of hours on my computer. I had to learn new computer programs in order to be able to do graphics. I had to learn lots of new things. I took advice from a lot of people. I've been very open in learning from people that are in the industry that have done it before, and people who are new in the industry who are trying new and different things. And financially, I didn't necessarily have all of the means to do what I wanted to do, or it would have taken a lot longer. So also utilize a lot of the really amazing, you know, tools that we hear about. So I was able to last year launch a Kickstarter campaign that was really phenomenally successful, and it really helped me financially to get everything off the ground as well. So my initial goal was to raise about $11,000, and I raised $23,000 in a very short period of time. And that really gave me – I had built kind of a following and a group of people who really believed in me. And so a lot of people in the quilt community, as well as family and friends, really supported me in helping to see my dream come true. But I also put in the time and the work as well to get to that point where they would have the confidence in me to know that I was dedicated enough to actually make it happen. So it's been a journey.
Sure.
It's not been easy, but I wouldn't give it for anything. I actually sent an email or Facebook message to my old manager, my old job, because I know it feels bad to have to let someone go for whatever reason. But I was like, that was the best thing that could have happened. It was like kicking a bird out of the
right
nest, you know. Yes, exactly. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it's part of learning to trust yourself in your own process, but also knowing your strengths and your limitations as well. So
right.
I know, like, and I'm learning. You have to, and you learn as you go along. You learn as you do. You don't always have to know everything as you go into something. You trust that you'll be able to gain the knowledge and the experience as you go along, and just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Good advice. Good advice. Yeah, I was tickled when you said that earlier, that being laid off was the biggest blessing that you had received, because it can be, if you take advantage of that time and not mope and groan and cry, you know, for an experience of an extended period of time, because I know a lot of individuals that do just that. You know, they take that as a blow to who they are, and they never recover from it. So that's really wonderful that you could see that.
For 2 days.
Yeah.
I did cry for 2 days. And then after
but
that,
cut
I was
it off,
so relieved.
You know?
Exactly.
And when you talk about the
community.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you talk about the community, you actually founded or co-founded two organizations, so the Los Angeles Modern Quilt Guild and then the Worldwide Modern Quilt Guild. So how did you go about creating those support groups, or your community, as you call it?
You know what? When I started quilting, I've been sewing my whole life, but I started quilting about 7 years ago now, actually the same year that we started the guilds. And when I started quilting, there was a pretty active online community of modern quilters. So there was one or two sites that we were all meet up and share ideas and that kind of thing. But we were still quilting individually at our kitchen tables. And at that time, there were only very traditional guilds that weren't necessarily open to like a different way of looking at quilting at that time. They're a lot more welcoming now because they're more used to seeing what we've been doing for the past 6 or 7 years. But at that time, they weren't as welcoming as they could have been. And I had an experience that actually was an experience I had simultaneously with another lady by the name of Elisa Haight Carlton, who I hadn't met previously. But I had experience of going to a local quilt show and realizing that all of the cool, amazing modern quilts that we were seeing online weren't at the show. And we didn't have that community in person. We had it on, you know, virtually online. And she also happened to live in L.A., so we met on her blog via her comment section on a blog post that she put up. And my response was, let's start a guild. And that was in the event that we went to was in July. She posted her blog post maybe August. By October of that year, we had our first meeting with, I believe it was 23 member ladies that showed up. And some of those ladies to this are like best friends of mine to this day. And after we started posting about what we were doing, then everyone else wanted to do it. So we decided to form a national kind of more formal organization called the Modern Quilt Guild. And it was kind of acting on a concept. I wasn't the only one that had the idea to create an in-person organization that met up and did all of that, specifically around modern quilting. But it's a matter of when you have an idea also to act on it, and we did, and it actually grew up and grew into something that was bigger than any of us. And I actually resigned from the organization 2 years ago now, just for a number of reasons. The one was to focus more on building my own thing, but I'm still very involved. I'm teaching next year at their third national conference in Savannah, Georgia. So it's been that was another experience that I learned a lot from about myself and about dealing with other people and all of that as well. So it's one of those things where you have an idea, you act on it. Sometimes things happen and you're at the right place in the right time, but you also have to be ready to act. You have to be prepared enough to be able to take advantage of those opportunities. And
I like that you knew enough to start the organization, but then knew even more that you needed to let it go at a certain time frame and wasn't so attached to it because it was something that you created that you didn't let it go. So that's right. Really powerful there, because that could probably be a stumbling block for a lot of people. With growth and expansion is trying to hold on to something simply because they have started it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've been blessed to have a lot of mentors over the time, direct and indirect. But when I first graduated college, I worked with an inventor who was absolutely amazing. He's since passed, may his soul rest in peace, but he owned his own small business, Cut Wave Technology. It was Thomas Meeks. And I learned a lot from his experiences. And he used to always say, everything's for sale. He's like, I'm not tied to anything. He said, it's all for sale. He says, because the reason why people are afraid to let go of things is because of the fact that they don't think that they're going to be blessed with the next idea. He says, if you're open to the universe, then the next idea will always come to you. You just have to be ready to take advantage of it. So...
Now,
yeah, and I think
like
about
that.
That often.
That is powerful, yeah. Right there. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I think people hoard or hoarders, you're holding on to things because, like you say, or like Mr. Meek said, you know, it's because they're afraid they're not going to get the next idea or the next whatever it is that they're holding so tightly on. I know I'm like that with paper, you know, and I write a program or write an article, and I don't want to throw it away, you know. And so there came a time.
You and my daddy
once,
both.
I know, right? And he was the one that kind of gave me that because I was like, I got all this paper. What am I going to do with it? And so Malcolm has said, well, put it, that was when the little travel drives and stuff first came out. He's like, well, just load it all on a travel drive. And I was like, that's going to take forever. And so talking to your dad, you know, and he said, well, you know, I bet you're holding on to it because you're believing in lack and limitation, like you're not going to get any more ideas about developing a program.
Right.
And Latifa, I burned paper for over a week in a really big, I don't know what size trash, but the metal trash can, like it was huge. And that fire burned for a whole week. And so I kept some of the ashes just to remind me to let release things, let it go. Don't hold on to stuff.
And it's interesting. We talked earlier about the clammy and my clamshell pattern. It's called Glam Clam, but I posted that pattern for free online, and it's to this day people ask me why did I post it for free. But as a free pattern, I've made more off of that pattern than I've made off of any of the other products that I've developed, because it generated tons of teaching opportunities, and it developed from that pattern into, you know, the template ruler that I developed. And, you know, like all of these other things came out of that. So don't be afraid to let go and put things out there in the world, even if you don't think you're going to directly financially, you know, get direct financial benefit from it, because it can benefit you in lots of other ways as well.
Yeah, that's cool. That's great advice from a youngster. And so your community sound like it's so much fun too. You know, like you guys just hang out together, and because you're into the same activity, or you're sharing a passion that you all have, it just seems like it's so supportive and would be so enriching. And so, is that important? Well, you did say it was important, but. The establishment of the community. You guys started with a post saying that you wanted to get this the guild going, and people started joining. So, do you think that a supportive community would be invaluable to any business endeavor that one would undertake?
I definitely think that it is, because at this point, you know, I have the social community that is very, very, very supportive, and that who, you know, collectively helped me to, like, really kind of push to the next level and achieve goals. But just on a personal level, I literally, as an adult, a lot of times it's difficult to put yourself in circles and things where you can make new friends, you know. For a lot of people, that's very difficult. But now some of my best friends are from this community as well. And I can talk about fabric and thread and all the stuff that no one else in my world could care less about. but outside of that, you know, it's just the conversations about life and family and home and, you know, all of the other things that are really, really important to us as individuals. But on a business perspective as well, I've been able to have a growing group of business supporters that are inside of the same field as well. It's a very unique field to be in. There's a lot of different nuances that are very specific for this, because it's a group of creative people that are all makers. And, you know, there's a few things in this kind of environment that make it a very specific type of business to run. So I definitely, on a daily rely upon my community, both on a social and just personal level, as well as on a business level. So it's very, very important. I couldn't have gotten to where I am now without it.
Yeah, it's important.
And
quilting
is also has always been a very social activity. Garment making isn't necessarily a social thing. Activity, but for some reason quilting is. And I know in talking, granddaddy's told me stories, you know, my grandfather, your dad, has told me stories before about him sitting on the floor, and they used to hang the quilts from the ceiling, actually, and they would take the cotton and beat the cotton into the batting, so they would beat it into like a flat layer. But how his mom would sit around and they would, you know, chew snuff and pretty much gossip around the quilt. But quilting has always been about community, whether it's all the ladies in the community coming together to finish one person's quilt and send it on. But in current day, we do the same thing. We have groups and we come together, and like even with the recent different tragedies that we've been dealing with in our country, people automatically respond with creating quilts as well. So it's something in that community is very tied into, the whole culture of quilting as well. Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I can see that, you know. I was fortunate that my grandmother, my mother's mother, had a quilt made for me, and I believe she was in the process of its creation as well. And I cherish that quilt so richly because it's a part of my grandmother, you know. She's one of our ancestors. So to have that is just, it's priceless. It's just absolutely priceless.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna take a quick break, Latifah, just so we can catch our breath and get a cup of water or something, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, and our guest tonight is my niece, Miss Latifah Saphir. She's a master quilter and the creator of her own business, and we're going to continue with that story in a moment. Of Latifah's life as she currently is in this passion of quilting, because you know we all get a chance to change. We don't have to stay hooked in one particular field of endeavor. And so the best part of me just really exemplifies what Latifah is giving to the world right now, the best part of her. So you are tuned in to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I so appreciate you being with us tonight. We have my niece, Latifah Saphir. She's a master quilter. She's been telling us about her journey through leaving an established job and walking out in faith to create what something that she had always wanted to do in some way, maybe not particularly quilting, but using her creative energies. And so she took her engineering techniques and tools that she learned and her love of clothing and creativity with cloth and combined that into her graphics company, her graphic quilt company. And she has produced patterns. She's produced sewing tools. She's produced a number of just absolutely incredible quilts. You have to see them. And so for those of you that are on the phone, I would urge you to go to the page of blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers and just look at the different examples of the quilts that she's done. I have about five or six of them that are displayed there. So Latifah been telling us about, she says being laid off was her biggest blessing that she had received. After she cried for 2 days, she came to that realization, and she's been unstoppable ever since then. So welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. If you're on the line and you want to ask Latifah any questions, you know, just hit one, and I'll see that you want to speak, and you're more than welcome. All comments are always welcome. No one is ever refused or criticized for what they have to say. So, Latifah, I wanted to come back with and let you to tell us about your quilt cadets and explain to the audience what that is.
So, quilt cadets is a line of it's essentially a line of patterns. It's a whole program built around it. It's not 100% fully launched. The website will be coming soon, which is sort of a key component to it. But it's a line to teach kids how to sew or how to quilt through sewing. And I've always teaching has always been a really big part of what I've been my whole life since I was very young. Even when we were homeschooled, I would help to teach the younger kids. And it's been a really big part of who I am. And one of the biggest joys in what I do now is also teaching as well. So I teach to a number of groups and guilds around the country. But I think there's nothing like passing the joy and the love of what you do onto the youngest of generations. And a lot of quilters, you know, there's the modern, we talked about the modern quilters that are, you know, it's not age that attracts a younger audience. But there's a lot of mothers and grandmothers and people of all ages that have a lot of younger kids in their lives that they want to be able to pass on what they do. And so I created this series products that help to speak to the kids and more of their language as well. So it's geared specifically towards children. So it's very, it's highly illustrated. It has a lot of lots of pictures and fewer words. They're longer patterns, a lot simpler patterns. But it's kind of to spark the joy of sewing and quilting in the younger generations. There are fun elements built in. There's kind of a club quality. So each pattern, you get points towards badges. And there's a little free prize, like a bookmark or stickers or temporary tattoos in every pattern. So there's a fun element built in as well. And then there will also be, when the website launches, there will also be a community, virtual community aspect into it as well, where the kids can share their projects online and be able to see it, what other people are working on, and they also see new projects and inspiration as well there. So I'm really, really excited about it. One of the products I love all of the products that I put out, but this is one that's pretty close and dear to my heart because it represents a lot of who I've been in my whole life, and just being able to share and pass on, and just be able to inspire other people, so, or inspire the younger generations. So, Quilt Cadets.
Well, I like the aspect, though, also that it brings the generations together, you know, grandmother or mother, sure, or auntie or whatever, and the child. Because a lot of times that's missing, you know, there we have the music separation, you know, that generation and this generation, and the communication sometimes can get skewed, and so people are not talking to one another. But this is an activity that actually brings them together. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So, and then you've also created fabric, right?
Yes. So yeah, fabric just launched. The fabric, it's my line is called Graphic, and it's inspired by graffiti and street art, sort of reflected a lot of the environmental things I saw growing up in Los Angeles before we moved to Texas, and a lot of the visual, you know, cues from living in the inner city in Los Angeles in the 80s and 90s. And it's the same journey for me creatively. It was probably the most challenging. And I also felt the most vulnerable creating fabric. It taps into a different side of my creative self, where I felt I was in some ways a lot more authentic even than I am in my quilt designs. And so it's been a really, really fun journey. It's been really interesting. I've been less part of the fabric company that really trusts my creative vision and process, and they've given me almost complete creative freedom to create what I've wanted to create. And thankfully, it's been paying off. So I just heard that it was the best-selling fabric line for this particular company at Quilt Market as well. So I'm really, really excited.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, so it's been fun, but it's also, you know, allow yourself to, I'm not traditionally a surface designer. Fabric is considered surface design. So I'm not traditionally a surface designer. And in talking with the company, Hoffman Fabrics, initially, I communicate to them, like, where I am, what my strengths and weaknesses are, and they told me they would support me to see my vision come to life. And so even though I'm not traditionally a surface designer, I was able to take my vision for what I would love to see in surface design and to kind of birth it and see it come to life. So I'm really, really excited. So the fabric has, like, brick on it, and there's a really graphic, it has a very collage element to it, not pure graffiti, but very collagey. And then there's street lines with pigeons on them and lots of really fun elements that just it's not really seen in fabric a lot. I have to step out on faith on this one as well, because it's not the fabric that everyone is going to love, but the people who do love it are going to love it pretty passionately, I believe. So you have to kind of trust who you are in your process and be willing to put it out. And as part of my process, I actually had to I'm very creative, but I'm also very business-minded in that I want to make sure the products I put out are beneficial to not only to myself, but the other companies that I'm representing. So there's a balance. A lot of creative people don't necessarily have that as a balance. But in creating, I had to let go of the business side and just create, because I was so kind of stuck on creating a viable product that everyone was going to love. And in the end, I had to say, no, I just have to create what comes from my heart and create what I love. And that was apparently the right way to go with it, because I'm really happy with it. And we've gotten a really great reception so far.
That's a really great suggestion or thought to implant into people's minds, too, because, you know, if you do get caught on one side and you're not creative, or the business and the creative, then your company or your product doesn't have the full support from you or from the person that is creating the business. And so to keep those two in mind, that's really a good idea for people to understand. And so if you don't have the business mind and you only have the creative mind, you can always employ someone to come in and to help mm-hmm. you out in that situation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many resources available. I'm at the point now where I'm a little bit overtaxed as far as my time is concerned. So I'm trying to figure out what are the best resources I can utilize to support me in the areas that may not be my strength or I may not want to sink my time into. I may be better served working on the more creative parts of the business or the creative marketing parts of the business versus the day-to-day. So I'm in the process now of trying to figure out what are the next steps to kind of step out and get more support that way. But it's really important that we recognize not only our need, our strengths and our weaknesses, our need for support, and be willing to step out and ask for help. And there's so many resources online today. You can hire someone for a few hours a week. My baby sister, who just graduated from college, she's been here with me as she prepares to go to her first real life job. But she keeps reminding me as I talk to her about stuff. She's like, college students. She says they need experience. They're willing to work for cheap.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it's the college students, but there's also, you can, employ someone for a few hours a week to work in different countries who are willing to work for something that you can actually afford. So there are resources out there.
Yeah, there's a national organization called internships.com.
Okay.
And you go on and you list your business and what it is that you do and what type of help, and they match you up with college students. So
that's
one resource that you can take advantage of. And so I know that probably for the majority of, especially new entrepreneurs, that there's a need to want to control every aspect, every part of the process in the business. But as you've come to realize, there comes a point in time when you have to bring in other people to support you. And so that is extremely important
to
the growth and the longevity of the business.
Yep, it's really the only way to grow. It's there's something really powerful about building a team, and also about building a team that you trust. So, and part of that is learning how to trust who you are as well. And I think that's where people feel a need to control, whatever. Because I see, even though it has my name on it and all of that, but I see Latifa Sapphire Studios is bigger than who I am. And in order for me to really guide it, I do know that I'm going to need other people in place to be able to push it forward and take it to the next level. So I'm not there yet, but I think I have the vision at this point to be able to take it to that point. So.
And it sounds like Mr. Meeks helped you out, too, with that planting that seed in you early on in your career. So
The beauty about mentors is a lot of times you can not only learn from their strengths, but you can learn from their weaknesses as well. And Mr. Meeks was, Tom had an absolutely brilliant mind. And a lot of the ways, he could have grown, we all have our strengths and our weaknesses, but looking at the things that didn't allow him to grow to what I think could have been his fullest potential or whatever. And I guess it's probably not the right words, because he did grow to his fullest potential, but things that held him back, I was able to learn from those as well. So a lot of times with your mentors and the people that you work with, we have mentors that do great and amazing things and are brilliant minds and are really smart people and very creative. But we're all human, and so we all have our strengths and our weaknesses. And the biggest thing is to learn not only from people's strengths, but their weaknesses as well.
That's so true. So what advice would you give someone that has an idea and they don't know what the first step is that they should take? What advice would you give that person?
So the beauty of the time that we live in right now is that anything is possible. So, I think, for me, even maybe 20 years ago or 30 years ago, to, raise the funds for my business and do all of these things, we have all of the resources at our hands. The Internet is so powerful. And there's things that I hate about it as well. But it gives us so many resources. So learn from others. Don't be afraid to talk to people who are already doing the things that you want to do, whether it's in your industry or a similar industry, or who are very successful in other areas, and see what they do to succeed. Don't think you always have to reinvent the wheel. So take things that work, processes and systems that work, and adapt them to your idea and your model, then you have to learn how to trust yourself. You have to learn how to, you know, when I teach a lot, people want me to tell them what colors to pick on their fabrics. And my biggest lesson to them is you have to figure out what's beautiful to you. And it's the same thing when you're creating a business or a product. Learn from others and take that information, but in the end, you have to learn how to trust who you are and trust your process. Learn your strengths and your weaknesses, and take those and use them to your biggest advantage. So if you need help with things that you're not very good at, then get support and help in that. And take your strengths and ride them to their fullest and find ways and opportunities and situations where you can really explore them and really push them to their limits as well. And it's I look at what I'm doing right now, and I look at who I was when I was 10. You know, when me and Arletta had adolescent jihads, me and my older sister started our first greeting card business when we were 10 and 11 years old. Or I look at when I was 13 and 14, and I organized kids club on the land and the community that we lived in, where I gathered all the younger kids up to create these like creative projects. Or when I was 15 and I would check out quilt books from the library. That was before I even started quilting, and cookbooks and like craft books and things that were creative. And I look at all of that, and I realize that finally I've come to a point in my life where I've allowed myself to fully embrace who I've always been. And I think it's just really, I'm very blessed to be where I am right now. But I'm no different than who I always am. Like, we always have it in us. And if we look at key areas of our life, we can see where it kind of bubbles to the top, or where we're able to, like, when you're in the moment and you're having fun and, like, time is not an issue and you're doing what really, like, drives and inspires you. And I realize, like, now what I'm doing now is a kind of a culmination of all of the things I've been drawn to my entire life. My mom always also said that I would be a teacher. I always tell her now that you didn't know I'd be teaching quilting, huh? And she says, well, that's actually not too far from what. So, yes, yeah, so just pay attention to who you are and don't be afraid to step out and you know, I always, you know, for me, even I'm not afraid to going back and, but every time I think about doing that, it inspires me more to keep pushing towards what my goals are, because I know I'm a lot happier in the space.
Well, that's good. That's good. And so, as I mentioned in the very beginning of the show, you also have a huge responsibility that you willingly take on, and that's caring for your grandfather, my father, who is 95. And so you balance all of the opportunities that come with that, being his caregiver, with and you work a job, plus you have this business that you created and is flourishing right now. So how do you balance everything? How do you make it all even out at the end of the day?
It's tough, and at the end of the day, it doesn't feel like it all evens out. I mean, I guess it's like
you're
not always
up.
Writing that. Can you hear me now?
I can now.
Auntie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The interesting
I can hear
thing
you.
About the
can
concept.
You hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Are we good? Okay.
Yes, we are.
So the interesting thing about the concept of balance is in life, when things are balanced, you're not always riding that middle road. You're always stepping to one side and the other to kind of achieve that equilibrium, and that's constantly what I'm doing in my life right now. It's a really, really tough, you know, it's not just the physical challenges of getting older, but it's the mental and emotional components of getting older that I'm having to live with. And I learned along this path that the first thing that I have to do is self-care, because if I can't take care of myself and I can't support the things around me that are important, and that includes my grandfather and my business and all of these other things. So I'm constantly focusing on self-care. Mentally, self-care as well, because I understand if I don't care for me, then I have nothing else to give to anyone else or anything else. So it's I'm not at all put out any kind of impression that I haven't figured out that I know that's going on, that my day's smooth. I'm not. It's not like that. It's life. And every day I hope that I learn from, you know, my experience that day and the previous days and learn and grow and move from there. And some days I feel like I fall flat on my face. It's part of the process. But I'm learning and growing and trying to stay grounded. Yeah, and just keep moving forward, one foot in front of the other.
That's good, because you know that there's so much maturity in the words that you're sharing with us today, and so I appreciate the growth. And I know through starting and establishing a business that you do have a tendency to grow up a lot faster than had you be working for somebody else, because becoming an entrepreneur presents those opportunities to you for you to learn and to make mistakes and to grow and to make mistakes and to grow beyond the challenges and the opportunities that running a business have. And you've become so successful in a relatively short period of time with your work. And so the passion and the compassion that you have for others and the work that you do is certainly a reflection in your successful business. You know, so I want to invite the listeners once again, if you want to call and ask Latifah a question or make a comment, congratulate her on the work that she's doing. Are you involved in something that you need some words of encouragement? Give us a call, 516-531-9819, and push 1, and you'll be connected to us, and you can speak directly on air. So this is Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Again, it is my pleasure, my humbled pleasure to have with us tonight my niece, Latifah Saphir. And like she was saying, there were times when her and her older sister and then I think some of the younger sisters joined in as well, and they had a card company, a greeting card company. And I know that I've got one aunt that's still alive, and she lives in San Francisco. And she looks forward to her Mother's Day card every year. And so, you know, it has to be like 30 years now since they since they first began that. But they touched the hearts and the lives of people. And maybe you guys didn't even know, Latifah, how important that was, especially to the older family members, getting those greeting cards from you. And they were so well done, so creative and so loving, and you could actually feel the love that came on those cards when we received them. And so you have been in the business of touching people in a very special, deep way, with just the thoughtfulness and the creativity and the love that you put in your work. And that's the way I feel about your quilts. I'm amazed with each one I see. The design is so unique and so exquisite. I'm like, how did she think of that, you know? So it's just beautiful. Your work is just absolutely amazing to me.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm just blessed to be I'm blessed to be where I am right now, and I'm blessed to be able to do this. And part of that gift is in giving and also passing it on to others as well.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we've got a lot of callers, and they're a little shy about calling in. Last week, they all called in the last 5 minutes, and some didn't get a chance to get their full question heard or answered, and so I hope that doesn't happen tonight. So we've got about a little less than 20 minutes left in the show. We have someone. We've got a caller here. Caller 940-535. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and whatever it is you have to say to us tonight.
Hey, my name is Eve, and wow, thank you, Sandy, and your guests. Oh, man, this is what I got to say to the guests. What I love about what I've heard, and I follow the whole show, and I'm so excited to talk to you and to be here to let you know how I and we feel about you. This is what I gather, and you know what? I didn't write it down, so I know I'm going to leave a lot out, but I'm going to start. I gather from you family. Career or opportunity, adventure, teamwork. We can do it. Universe. Things happen, and then you grow. Success, love, and a lot of love. And those are just not, I didn't write it down. If I wrote it down, I wouldn't have time to say it all. So what I think about you and what you're doing, you have helped me with what I want to do. And my career is different than yours, and yours is so I'm going to look at that. Quilting keeps us warm, and quilting does. Quilting is beauty, and quilting is family from generation to generation. So you brought so much to the table. I had to call in and thank you for opening my eyes and all the other listeners. And I'm feeling a lot of static, you know, still, and even talking with you. So no telling what's going on the line, but on my line, in my head, in my heart. You have made me, step up to the plate even a little closer. And don't be afraid. Look at you, what you brought to the table. And the more I smile and I look and I think about you, and I'm still hearing what you said. And the education in that. Oh, my goodness, that you brought. And the talent and the difference in what you do. I got to see you work. I can't wait to see you work. So I'm so excited, and I love you, and I love you what you've done to me and everyone else. And, hey, complete already success to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodness, that was so sweet. I don't even know what to say, but thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I'm going to share it. A lot of love. What you said, I'm going to give it to everybody around me. So this is going to go far a distance to all of us that don't know what to do. You did it, and you told me we all can do it, and we just got to step out there. It's going to take some time. It's not going to be like tomorrow.
Yeah, but that's absolutely
tomorrow,
true.
Oh, I so love you, but you let us know and me know that tomorrow is there. We wake up to tomorrow, and we just try and try again, and that teamwork. And look what you're doing with Granddaddy. Wow, how do you have time? Tell me, how do you have time with everything you're doing?
I don't know. You
I just want you to know, leave the information because I want to see your work and I want to roll with you, all right?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Hey, a lot of love and for future for me and you and all of us, too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And lots of love for
you
as well. Thank you. That was super sweet.
Eve is one of our loyal listeners.
Oh, great. Yeah, she's super sweet. So, yeah, the thing that she did say at the end, I think it's also something, sometimes we look at other people's successes, and I realize this, like, when people look at what I've done and what I'm doing, and I'm not even where I want to be right now. I'm just building towards it just slowly. But a lot of people, like, the grass is always greener. We look from on the outside looking in, and it looks like people do things overnight. And it literally has been years to get me to this point, you know, years of preparing myself mentally, years of building skills around, you know, I sewed for 30 years, you know, so when I came to quilting, I didn't have to learn that skill. And probably a year and a half learning all of the computer programs to create the patterns and be able to do a lot of the things that I do on the computer now. A lot of times we look at, like, the visible thing that we can see as far as what people have produced, and we don't realize all of the time and energy and, you know, weeks and months and sometimes years that goes into being where they are today. So when I keep saying one or the other, that's literally what we have to keep doing, you know. And it may not happen overnight. Happen overnight, and a lot of times it's blessing as well, because usually you're not ready if it happens overnight. So just stay.
Yeah, I like how you said it earlier, Latifa, to fully embrace who I have always been. And so, like in your case, that the love of sewing and creating for 30 years, you know, starting with the greeting cards and learning to sew and putting all of that together into what you have now, and combining the education, your engineer degree in that. So it's like it's all been the layers to get you to where you are today. So, fully embrace who I've always been. Mm-hmm. So Eve came up with some really powerful words. And so you can see that you're touching people's lives and making a difference. And so you are teaching. You're making a difference, and you're impacting people as they listen to this radio program. And I'm sure when you're out and doing demonstrations and teaching people at these different quilting seminars or quilting events, I'm not sure what the right name is for them, but, you know, when people come together to do that and you're teaching that more than just the skill of creating quilts, but you're giving them so much knowledge and so much wisdom from what you've learned and what you've gleaned out of life, that it makes it a full experience. And perhaps that's why your community is so much fun and why everyone keeps coming back and enjoying it so richly. So
yeah.
I'm going to agree with Eve. Keep doing what you're doing, and we're all learning from you. Yeah, love and family. That's what it's all about. And
absolutely.
Yes. Well, we are coming toward the end of the show now. So is there anything in particular that you would like to leave with the listeners? And also please include any type of contact information you want to share or upcoming events. If there's still opportunities to support you financially through donations or whatever you would like to say to the guests, I would appreciate you doing that.
And so, it's really interesting when being on a show like this, when people ask you about kind of how you got to where you are right now and kind of what your view is on life and what your view is on what contributed to getting you to where you are. I just want to say to like everyone out there that I'm no different than anyone else out there. We all have it in us. We all have the ability. I'm not doing anything that much different than anyone else or that anyone else has the ability to do. But it's all a part of just being true to who you are, being in touch with who you are. It's a part of learning to give. And to share who you are with the world, and also to not be stingy with like who you are and the things that you've been giving and the gifts that you've been giving as well. So, it's I don't want it to ever like appear that I believe or feel that I'm special in that way. I'm not saying that to down myself or anything. I fully embrace who I am and all of my strengths and all of my weaknesses. So don't think that I'm downing myself at all, but also to say that we all have it in us. We all have it in us to step out and be and to grow and to learn and to try to step more fully into who we are. With that being said, I'm really, really happy and blessed to finally come to a point in my life where I'm able to kind of really just be in a space where it's flowing, and it's a struggle every day. So don't think that it's not, even though I love where I am right now, and it's a struggle every day. It is, because I still deal with all of my stuff. But in spite of that, they say feel the fear and do it anyway. That's part of what it is, because in order to keep growing, you have to keep pushing yourself, So it's not easy necessarily, but it's the best place that I've ever been in my life, and I'm really very, very grateful for that. Online, I'm Latifa Sefier Studios. That's on Facebook and on Instagram and all of that. You can usually just type in Latifa Sefier Studios online, and all of my the places you can find me will pop up. But yeah, I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I have a website that's not updated very often.
doing other things.
If you're interested in quilting, then the Modern Quilt Guild is still an excellent resource. Find your local chapter. If it's a group that you don't love or you don't gel with, go somewhere else and find another group or form your own, which is kind of what we did. So just put yourself out there, enjoy, live life, step out, and one foot in front of the other.
Well, I wanted to give a spelling. For those that may not know how to spell your name, it's Latifah, and the last name Sefier is Saafier. S-A-F-F-I-R, Latifa Saphir. And Latifa, you brought up a point with the struggles you were talking about on a daily basis. How does operating your own business, what does that do to your self-esteem? Is that like a daily battle in and out of high and lows, or how does that how does that help you or hinder you in your self-esteem issues?
I don't know that we have time to even think about it some days.
Okay.
But,
fair.
But for me, I think that, you know, when you're in a space of growth, you know, growth is never I don't think that growth is at any time, it's never a comfortable experience, because if you're growing, you're pushing yourself outside of your current comfort levels and current zones of where you're, you know, your levels of comfort. And anytime you're doing that, then you're going to be challenging yourself. So a lot of times your fear is going to bubble up to the surface. Your insecurities bubble up to the surface. And you have to, one of the biggest things I learned is because fear can shut us down. So there was a book that the title of the book, and I read the book many years ago, but the title of the book always stuck with me, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And so the people that are successful and that are able to move forward, it's not that they don't have the fear and they don't have the insecurities. They have them, and they come up often if they're still pushing themselves. But they've recognized what it is and thank it for what it is, because of the fact that it means you're in a space of growth. And with that, you just keep pushing past it. And through that, I think that in looking back, so more in retrospect than anything else, you can say, oh, I did that. Or I was able to accomplish that, or it was really difficult, but I was able to get to a certain place with being built because of the fact that you were saying, even though, you know, it was difficult and scary and had all the stuff going on, I still was able to trust who I was and keep pushing forward, keep moving forward to take it to the next level. So, so that's my perspective on it, and that's how I look at it and deal with it, you know, because I have been in lots of times in my life where I let the fear stop me, where I fell back into a zone that was more comfortable and something that, you know, a routine that I was used to, because, and that's, you know, kind of, we fall back into those because they're safe for us. But if you want to get somewhere, you want to, you know, it's a journey, and in journeys there's hardship. So it's part of the cycle of life.
There you go. There you go. Great, great answer to that question. And I appreciate that. Because that's ongoing. That's going to happen throughout life. It never changes. Somewhere somebody said that we're not, you know, supposed to experience any hard times, and it's all supposed to be easy. And where that comes from, I have no clue. Because nothing stays the same. Everything changes. Life is a constant change. And so when we desire for things to stay the same, we're actually going against nature. Because nature changes, you know, like there's new grass, there's new leaves on the tree, there, you know, that the animals are changing and shedding and coming new. They don't fight it. We fight it, you know, because like I said, I don't know who it was that came up with the idea that we're not supposed to go through any changes to get where we need to be. So you've been such a delightful guest and such an inspiration and motivational speaker for so many. And I know that people are taking notes and will be able to apply this to their life and to their business. And perhaps you sparked a dream in someone to go out and manifest that dream into reality for them. So I know you've helped me. And you sparked some additional interest. And I just love what you had to say, like learning from others and trust yourself. Get support if you recognize a weakness in you and ride your strengths to their heights and fully embrace who I've always been. And I think that one right there is the one that really, really stays with me. Because we do, you know, like you may have different thoughts and different ideas and go in different directions, but it all comes back to a base. And so for you to find that base then helps you to build the rest of your life on. So I appreciate you so much. I want to play a little something that just kind of reminds me of the connection that we're talking about this evening.
To be somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them, you see it's in the blood. Both kids are good and mom. Thicker than the mud, it's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair. Each other out. Hey, nobody wants to blow. Nobody wants to be left out. You can't leave 'cause your heart is there, but you can't stay 'cause you've been somewhere else. You can't cry 'cause you look broke down, but you're crying anyway 'cause you're all broke down. It's a family affair. It's a family affair. Oh, yeah, family affair.
That was Sly and the Family Stone. It's a family affair. We've had with us tonight Latifa Safir, LatifaSafir. She's on Instagram, Facebook, I think she said Twitter and LinkedIn, you know, all of those social media sites. So check her out. I wanted to leave with giving some additional information. Latifa says her motto is sprinkling the world with beauty, one stitch, one seam, one quilt at a time. And if you're really curious and would like to see some of her works, she's been featured in several publications, including the Modern Medallion Workbook, Improve, I-M-P-R-O-V, Handbook of Modern Quilters, The Ultra Quilting, and Seaside Home. Again, it has been my pleasure. And Latifa, I love you. I appreciate you. And I'm so proud of the work that you're doing. And thank you, thank you, thank you for being a guest on my show, for taking time out of that busy schedule of yours for sitting with us tonight. So thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for having a show, period, that helps to inspire others to a happier, fuller, more enriched life. And I hope that I contribute just a small bit to the conversation. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you. And we'll see you guys next week, Tuesday. Andy Rogers, your guest, your host of
Life, Love, and Wellness. We'll see you next week.
Life, Love, and Wellness.
You're going to love this. Hundreds of Macy's Cyber Week specials are here and ready for gifting online and in store. Like Boots and Booties for Her, buy one, get one free. Mixers, air fryers, and more, 20% plus an extra 20% off. And find gifts for him and her, coats, sweaters, tops, 50 to 60% off. Macy's Cyber Week specials now through Wednesday. Savings off regular prices, exclusions apply. Macy's Star Rewards now offers benefits everyone can enjoy no matter how they pay. Sign up for free in store or at Macy's.com/StarRewards. You're going to love this. Hundreds of Macy's Cyber Week specials are here and ready for gifting online and in store. Like Boots and Booties for Her, buy one, get one free. Mixers, air fryers, and more, 20% plus an extra 20% off. And find gifts for him and her, coats, sweaters, tops, 50 to 60% off. Macy's Cyber Week specials now through Wednesday. Savings off regular prices, exclusions apply. Macy's Star Rewards now offers benefits everyone can enjoy no matter how they pay. Sign up for free in store or at Macy's.com/StarRewards.